we have love, and what was the other one?
Hope.
What's the next one? Does anybody know? No, it's joy. The pink one is joy. Love, hope, and joy. As you think of the oncoming season, the Advent wreath is supposed to remind us that we have life, the greenery, and then the candles, the four candles. You know, so far we have the love, we have hope, and we have joy. And we want to be thinking about what joy is. And I can remember way back in the 70s, someone one time was teaching, actually it was Kay's sister, Terry, was teaching, I think they called it tweens then. They weren't teenagers, but they were, and they used to call it tweens. And she used to tell them, she'd say, if you have joy, you have it all. Because joy stands for Jesus first, others second, and then yourself. Yeah. Jesus, others, and yourself. And as you think of this season, that's what we've been talking about. You know, when you start listening to the blessings, we appreciate life. The fellow who lived across the hall from Polly, the young man, we say young man, 56, that Juanita knew, they aren't going to get to celebrate this Christmas. You know? And so we need to appreciate and think, have this joy. Think of the people that you knew last year. We didn't do the sermon this year, Come Before Winter. And one of the aspects in the Come Before Winter sermon is seize the moment, because you will never get this opportunity again. The people you get to witness to today, come next winter, their lives may be decked with flowers on top of a grave. So you need to just appreciate the joy that God gives us. Thinking about Jesus, then others, and then ourselves. Which is, like I said, we're going to be traveling into this idea of serving and service. Because that's what Jesus says. One of my favorite quotes from any book of all time was one that it just talking about Jesus that said, he lived to bless others. How would you like to have that written on your tombstone? He, she lived to bless others. That was Jesus' reason for living. Yeah. He just lived to bless others. And we talked about the idea that the word disciple means to bring alongside of, not to teach. But as we've said, leadership, every single person, Martin Luther, brought us to the place of the priesthood of all believers. That means everybody is a priest. You know, and I was called back to that as our altar boy came up this morning and lit the candles as Spence came up. I said, the way he's lighting them, he looks like an altar boy. He must have been an altar boy at one time. See? And that's an organization where you have this hierarchy and then you have the laity. Martin Luther says, there is no hierarchy in Christianity. Every member is a minister. See, that's the thing. Every member called to serve. It's like any other military organization. The idea of an unimportant person just because they're behind the lines. The supply officer is just as important as the infantryman, because without the supply, the infantryman has no ammunition. And the same is true, you know, the billboard Kay put up one time when she was doing preschool had a snowman and all these snowflakes all over the board, and each child had his picture in a snowflake, and it said all part of the body. Yeah, that's what this is. And the more we stick together and the more we lift up Christ, the bigger the body becomes. Not necessarily, see, the good part is it doesn't have to happen here. This doesn't have to get larger. The influence, that's what this is talking about. Upward to God, inward we minister to each other, inward to the body, and influence into the world. You will never influence someone you don't accept. And so there's this idea of being the soft place to land and a springboard for new beginnings. Let's bow our heads before we go any further. Father, we just want to praise your name. We want to give you glory and honor. And Father, we have come for a divine appointment because you have called us here on this day for the specific purpose, Father, of lifting up your Son. For the specific purpose of being, Father, anointed with the outpouring of your Spirit. And for the specific purpose of yourself being glorified. Father, we can't do it. Our human words, our human abilities are so inadequate. So we come and ask that each and every one of us, Father, be annihilated. And then, Father, resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit. Yes, through your servant speaking, but through each and every person. So that your Son might be lifted up. So that your Spirit may be poured out. So that you might be glorified. Accomplish that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to look a little bit at this idea of Christmas. And it's just before Christmas, so we want to look a little bit about what happened just before the birth. The idea of what was going through Mary's mind. And how we so often overlook it, because in Matthew or Luke chapter 1, in verse 40, Mary enters Elizabeth's house. Mary speaks. And it says, can you imagine? Mary, the Holy Spirit has come upon her. How powerful. You can understand why a religion could be built around Mary. She speaks, and the child in Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth says in verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The effect of the presence of God. We have taught people for years, in the presence of God, we need to be kind of down. Yeah. How would you, you don't want to be too excited in God's presence. And yet when God became present, babies in wombs leap. We're afraid to even raise our hand. here's a baby leaping, doing somersaults. Yeah, what was Elizabeth thinking at this time? What was going through her mind? But the whole purpose boils down and keeps coming down. In 45 it says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. A prophecy. Everything that was told to you is going to come to pass. It says, and Mary said, and this is the phrase we so often overlook, and this is the phrase we've been talking about in our testimonies. And this is the phrase that we're going to be looking at. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord. What does it mean to magnify the Lord? Mary knew her whole purpose was to magnify the Lord. It already began when she spoke and the baby leaped in her cousin's womb. See, we haven't been called. We thought we're called to go and make disciples. You are called to magnify the Lord. That's what you're called to do. See, it's easy to go teach a class, to hold a 6-week series of meetings, and then move on. It's difficult when you think about it. You can't take just any piece of glass, say, the top of my glasses don't magnify anything. But there is a part in the bottom that does. You have to be shaped. You have to be molded. They have to create this lens to magnify. Our purpose is to magnify. And this, see, here's the thing. Now my glasses magnify nothing. See, they only magnify when I look through them. I can see clearly as I look through them. That's what Alice was talking about. You are called to magnify the Lord. It's difficult. Excuse me. Dr. Duane was just talking. People are losing their jobs. People are hurting. Auto industry, begging for money. Mortgage companies, begging for money. There's people out there, they don't need money. They need to see a source that never ends. If we give them $16 billion this month, guess what? Next week, they're going to need more. And then next month when we give them another $8 billion, guess what? February, they need more. See, when Jesus is magnified, once somebody sees Jesus through us, there is nothing more they need. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the source of our joy. He is the source of our blessings. He is the source. He says, consider the birds of the air. You have not because you ask not. And we, like some robots, think if we go ask the right person, we're just not asking the right people. We're not being blessed because we haven't knocked on the right door. You're not being blessed because you're not going to the door. He said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. In insurance, they used to tell us, don't be afraid of the shiny doorknob. You know, the executive offices. when Henry Ford died. Thank you. I appreciate that. When Henry Ford died, he didn't have a penny of insurance. And someone asked him, they said, Mr. Ford, you have no insurance? And he said, no. They said, why don't you have any insurance? He said, oh, I would have bought it, but no one ever asked me. No one ever asked me. How do you think that makes God feel? I want to bless them, but they just don't ask me. I want to heal them, but they just don't ask me. I want to use them, but they just don't ask me. Think about it. It says, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and when that happens, my spirit has already rejoiced. Has rejoiced, not will rejoice. See, as soon as people can see you, and instead of seeing you, they see through you and see the God that you serve, the Spirit has already rejoiced. And he's gone, they finally get it. And you say, well, how do you know? I know you've been asked that question, or you're asking that question. How do we know? Even Einstein, who never claimed to be a Christian, he said, setting an example is not the main means of influencing another. Setting an example is not the main means of influencing another. He said, it's the only means. Are you magnifying in such a way that people want what you have? You are salt, it says. Are you making people thirsty for Jesus? See, he says he's the water. He never calls himself the salt. He's the water. You are the salt. Your job is to make people thirsty for the water. Magnifying Jesus. My soul magnifies the Lord. In Matthew, here's how you know. Because this comes up so often in our own lives. How do you know if you're magnifying the Lord? How do you know if someone else is? It's a simple test. It's simple. Sometimes we don't like the answer. You don't have to look at a person. It says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, that every tree in verse 19 that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits. See, the magnification, these glasses have no idea what they do for me. They are an inanimate object that I get to use as a tool simply to accomplish my purpose of reading Scripture. We have choices. We can either go into the hospital and have arm extenders put in or magnify. See, sometimes, in order for people to see Jesus, you have to get far enough away. So maybe something else can get in the way. Or you can be used as an inanimate tool. And you look and you say, what? You can do this yourself for yourself? Young people, this is something you need to learn. After you do something, I don't care if you're taking a quiz in school, if you're playing a sport, when it's done, you say, and it doesn't matter whether your teacher is a Christian or not, you need to ask yourself how I did on this assignment, how I did on this project, how I conducted myself. What did that tell my teacher, my boss, my family? Tonight, when they lay down in bed, will they say, through Matthew, I saw Jesus today. I didn't think he could get 100. But I saw him bow his head before the test. Surely there must be something in this God Matt serves. That student that bowed his head in the lunchroom among all those others. What are your fruits telling people? How are you magnifying the Lord? See, my thing is, we don't have a choice of whether we magnify or not. We just have a choice of who we magnify. See, these glasses have no choice of whether they're going to magnify God's word or something I shouldn't be looking at on the internet. They have no choice. But they're going to magnify something. You have a choice to make. This holiday season, as we think about it, see, Mary made that conscious choice. And then look at the track of Mary. Why do people think so highly of Mary? Look at her fruits. Look at her fruit. She raises one son who is the Son of God and another son who is convinced by his brother that he is God. Now that takes a mama to raise somebody. You know your brother's God. And his brother writes a book. What kind of a mama can do that? Talk about fruits. By their fruits, you will know whether they're magnifying God. When you look at what you do, how you've done, before you speak. Or we might say before you lose it, when we really should say before you find your temper. Think about this. What I am about to say, what are people going to think about that tomorrow? And it doesn't matter what my husband, my wife, my family, what are those people who don't even know me and see me in Kohl's lose it with a clerk? What if they someday see a snapshot of me in the paper as pastor of a church, heading up a ministry, feeding the homeless. Yeah, they may feed the homeless, but they had a clerk for a meal one day. See, Christianity isn't a multiple choice. There's only one choice. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. We come to serve. And our fruits, what we leave behind us, are people blessed? Or are they saying, thank God, and Greyhound, they're gone? What are they saying? And we're talking about honesty here. They can say, you know, blessed are they that say all manner of evil about you for my sake. Jesus says, what happens after you're gone is the true mark, not while you're there. Because see, while you're there, somebody can say something and you can say, that's not true. That isn't how it happened. That isn't what Jesus did. Are you the King of the Jews? What is truth? If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Think about it. They were talking about his fruit. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. They were given all Jesus' resume. But it's not enough, people. Jesus wasn't enough to convince Caiaphas to make a change in his life. And he didn't stick with it. He just left the trail, and Caiaphas himself then said about the disciples, leave them alone. If this is of God, we can't stop it. See, that was after the resurrection, by their fruits. If it's of God, see, he knew the fruits of the one he hung on the cross. He may not have driven the nails, but surely he purchased them. He knew, but he wouldn't make that decision. Now is the time to make the decision. This season of love, hope, and joy, to say, this coming year, I want to have Mary's prayer. My life magnify the Lord. I know he's hard to see. When you're out of work, when you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, when you don't know where your next, we don't usually have that problem, do we, with the storehouse and other minutes, where your next meal's coming from? But there are people who don't. See, Jesus didn't get his fill first and then feed the 5,000. He was filled by feeding the 5,000. He didn't take a nap and then pray. He prayed all night and then was refreshed. And you can ask some of the people, Richard or Polly or Eli, Kay. Hell, Don Nelson was getting up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, when we first started Mustard Seed, just like he is now, and he would stay up till 11:30, 12 o'clock, we'd be praying at the storehouse, and then he still had a 45-minute drive home. So he's not getting home till 1 o'clock, getting up at 4:30 and refreshed. By their fruits. By their fruits you will know them. We have been called, just like Mary was called. We have a responsibility. See, God said to Mary, you have been blessed among all women. That's what he says to you today. You have been blessed among all Christians. I have called you this Christmas season for the sole purpose of magnifying my Son. This next year, people, it's getting close. I don't know how close, but I know it's close. And if I don't know how close, I know I'm closer than I was yesterday. And people don't need to see our government stable. They don't need to see the Dow Jones go up. They don't need to see us back on a gold standard or the big three automakers happy about their bailout. They need the Lord magnified in their life. So that when they're in the storm, they have an anchor that holds. You know, they have this Jesus. And the only way you can do that, people, you can preach all the sermons you want, and one act will destroy every sermon you've ever preached. If you don't believe me, ask Jim Baker. Ask Jimmy Swaggart. And there are countless others. One act will destroy everything. The fruit, people are watching you. How you, not how you act only, but how you react. By their fruits. How do we magnify the Lord? By our fruits. They will know us. You need to watch VeggieTales. We are the grapes of wrath. We never ever laugh. What are you saying when somebody says, when somebody says to you, have a good day, we ought to be thinking, how can my day get any better than with who I'm spending it with? Yeah. It don't get no better than this. Yeah. Rick, who detailed my truck, asked me if I could bring cash because it was a Friday night and he was going to go out partying. And so yesterday when I gave him the cheese things from BJ's, he said, God bless you. I said, Rick, he does. And I don't deserve it. So whether you deserve it or not, I know he'll bless you too. That's what he does. I was sent here, Rick, to give you this gift as a token of his blessing. And he was, I'm going to think about that. I said, you do that. I may never get to take him cheese Danish again. Yeah. But it has to stick in there. Yeah. I am blessed. I am blessed. Simply because somebody's truck was overheating, God blessed me with cheese Danish. Yeah. It sounds like a simple thing. Magnify the Lord. There's a lot of Jesus in a cheese Danish. Yeah. There's a lot of Jesus in every act you do. When the people come in the storehouse, Dr. Duane has no clue the influence he has on those people. Is the pastor here? I need him to pray. I say, he'll be here. He'll be here. What's left behind when you leave? Peace? Joy? Hope? And a future? Discord? confusion, discontentment, anger. When somebody leaves your presence, they should be wanting more. Not thanking God they finally got away. You know how you used to feel? I remember one Christmas, we were leaving the house. Jehovah's Witnesses on my doorstep. Now, of all the days, we were getting ready to go take the kids to their grandmothers. Yeah. They could have been right about everything. But I told them, I said, I have to leave. And they said, we know, but we have something really important to tell you. I said, okay, come back another time. No, we need to tell you now. I said, well, I have to leave. They said, well, we're not leaving. I said, well, let me tell you how this is going to work. You're welcome to stay on my step as long as you wish. But I am shutting the door. I'm going out to my car, and I am leaving. What kind of a witness do you think that was to me? Do you think I say, you know, Kay, I think we ought to become like those people. And just to annoy people every day of the week. I'm tired of just doing it one or two days a week. What's left behind? You figure that was 1973 and I'm still thinking about it. What did you do in 1970? Well, some of you weren't even around in 73. Polly, what were you doing in? Think about what we did that people will say, I was so blessed by Phil, and they never. See, I don't want Rick to ever forget Cheese Danish. That's why I give candy after church. I don't know how many other churches give candy, but I don't want them to ever think that this is not a place where good things happen, even if it only happens when he shuts up. Yeah. God is where we come to be blessed. This is the season that we're going to leap into this idea that Mary had. My soul magnifies the Lord. What are you magnifying? To your associates? To your family? To your church? To yourself? Let's bow our heads. Father, we have come for this sole purpose. We have come, Father, to understand that you only created us as bifocals, Father. For sometimes the world just to see through us like any other human being, and at other times to be used in such a way that others, when they lay their head down, they can say, I see Jesus through. Oh, Father, what a blessing it would be, Father, if at a memorial service nothing more was said than some person and the entire sermon, the entire service consisted of he, she lived to bless others. Father, magnify yourself. Magnify yourself through our lives, through our actions. Father, make our words be sweet so that if we have to eat them tomorrow, they won't taste that bad. Father, use us as tools in your hands. Father, we ask it. Because we know it's possible. We know it's possible because you've promised it. And your promises are always sure. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We claim it. We go forward in it. And we will rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, through the Spirit's power and for the Father's glory, we receive it. Amen. God says, think about this now when you're talking about he's going to magnify himself. Yeah. The whole idea of he must increase and we must decrease. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me. And then you will go and pray to me. And then I will listen to you. And then you will seek me. And then you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.